Good day to you. Here are my three things on Isaiah chapters 22 and 23. First of all, chapter 22, number one. This is a prophecy about the Valley of Vision. This is talking about Jerusalem. And so you have to wonder, how did it come about that this prophecy about Jerusalem was grouped together with a series of prophecies of judgment against the enemies of the Lord, those nations surrounding them, or even further, like Babylon and Assyria? And the answer really is the spiritual blindness among the leaders of Jerusalem and its inhabitants. It's equally as poor as the pagan nations around them. And against the backdrop of the Assyrian occupation of Judea, the unbelief in Jerusalem is clearly shown. They persist in their sins. They turn their backs on the Lord and His promises. Instead, they rely on human measures. Do we have enough weapons? Verse 8. Have we stored up enough water? Where are we going to find enough stones to reinforce the wall? These are all concerns. And yet in this vision, Isaiah sees just how close Jerusalem is to its destruction. This is after Isaiah's time a little bit. The people should now humble themselves before the Lord, regret their sin, and turn back to the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. And he calls them now for weeping and loud mourning, verse 12. But take a look and see joy and gladness, butchering cattle, killing sheep, eating meat and drinking wine. Let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die, verse 13. The hardening had gone so far that Isaiah can't help from saying, look away from me, I will weep bitterly. Do not try to comfort me over the destruction of the daughter of my people, verse 4. And so the Lord allowed him to see what was going to happen to Jerusalem further ahead in the future. And so that's my number one. Number two, the second part of that chapter is judgment against Shibna. Shibna is part of the ministers, part of the planning people, the people in charge of the city of Jerusalem, a king's right-hand man, you might say. He's a disgrace to his master's house, and he will by no means receive an honorable grave in Jerusalem as he had planned and what he had hoped for. Instead, the Lord will depose him from his place of service and deport him to a faraway land where he will die. And his successor will be Eliakim, who, like a good servant of the Lord, will be like a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the house of Judah. He gets the key to the city, the house of David. What he opens, no one will shut. Whatever he shuts, no one will open. Verse 22. Eliakim is compared to a nail driven to a solid place and to an honored throne for the house of his father. Eliakim will be a source of joy and glory for his whole family, but when Eliakim's family exploit him and hang on him, then that nail was driven into a solid place will give way. It will be sheared off and fall down. The load hanging on it will be cut off because the Lord has spoken. Verse 25. A day of reckoning will come at some point. And then they're moving into chapter 23, a prophecy about Tyre. This prophecy, the Song of Lament. Phoenicia, the coastal land north of Israel, present-day Lebanon, and its powerful harbor and trade cities of Tyre and Sidon, they dominated the Mediterranean with its trade and its empire of colonies. The well-fortified city harbor city Tyre not only had colonies on nearby Cyprus, but also all the way to Carthage on the northern coast of Africa, present-day Tunisia. And as far as Tarshish, which probably refers to the southwest, the coast of Spain over there. So they had quite the reach. So judgment was going to come against this happy and flourishing city of Tyre. It's no coincidence. Verse 9, the Lord of armies has planned this, to strip their pride of all its glory, to humiliate those who were honored around the world. The destruction of Canaan's fortresses happens according to the will of the Lord. It's the Lord who has ordered the destruction of Canaan's fortresses, verse 11. And so we see this song of lament that it's going to happen. And that Song of Lament turns into prose, a story along the way, it telling of things. Even Tyre will no longer be a ruling power. Instead, it would be forced to subject itself to serving others. And this prose like a prostitute. The prophet compares the future of Tyre to a prostitute's contacts, and its trade and income to a prostitute's pay. Verse 16, Isaiah is quoting a song about a forgotten prostitute, which is an appropriate description of Tyre in those times and the days that followed. When the Jews returned after the Babylonian captivity to rebuild their city and its temple, they made use of the trade from Tyre. And so, yeah, there will be a time when Tyre would be restored, but not for a while. And for a time, the judgment of the Lord will come upon the city of Tyre. Those are my three things for today. Hopefully tomorrow, I'll share with you. Keep on chapter 24. May the Lord bless and keep you the rest of this day.